I'm looking forward to that day, flying away. Won't need an airplane, won't need a hot air balloon, won't need a jetpack, because I'll be able to just fly, right? Looking forward to that. All right, let's take our Bibles and go to Colossians chapter 3. Heaven is not going to be boring. I'll just say that. Heaven's not going to be boring. Because if you can fly, you're going to have a good time. And that's not all we get to do. But Colossians chapter 3, and verses 16 and 17. You know, we're going to those are the main texts for tonight, but let's start in verse 1. We'll read verses 1 down to verse 17. So verses 1 through 17 we'll read, and then the message is based on verses 16 and 17 as we look at purposes to keep. Purposes to keep. So verse number 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, and inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we do ask that you bless our time together this evening. Father, we do ask that you would speak to us, guiding us through your word. Father, thank you that this is not man's word, this is not man's opinion, but Lord, these are the words that you instructed man to write down. Now, Father, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And Lord, that we may be perfect, Lord, that we may mature in our faith and our walk with the Lord, and Lord, to be conformed more into the image of Christ, bearing out the fruit of the Spirit in our life as we yield our life to the Holy Spirit, allowing him to cultivate the fruit in our hearts so it will bear out in our lives. And Father, we do ask that you would, Lord, continue to help us to purpose in our hearts to faithfully follow you, to faithfully submit our lives to you, and to faithfully, Lord, worship you in spirit and truth. Father, again, we just thank you that we do have a place in heaven prepared for us. We have something to look forward to. And Lord, help us to always be reminded of that. No matter what we face on this side of heaven, Lord, there's a better place that we're going to, and we can look forward to that and encourage ourselves in that as well. Father, thank you for all the goodness that you've bestowed upon us so far this week, and thank you for what you're going to do the remainder of the week. But Father, we do ask that you would speak to us in a very special way this hour. Father, guiding us according to your will, bringing honor, glory, and praise to yourself, for you're worthy of it. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many things in life that we purpose to do. If there is something that you really want to do, you purpose to do it. You plan to do it. If it's something coming up on the weekend, if it's a vacation, whatever it is, your purpose to do it, you put effort to it, you put planning to it. And there's three things in the Christian life that we have to keep purposing to do. And they're listed out here in verses 16 and 17, and we'll break it down. But, I mean, the first one is just let the word of Christ dwell richly in all wisdom. Let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We have to continue purposing that, you know what? God's word is going to be the centerpiece of my life. It is truly going to be the lamp unto my feet, the light unto my path. It is going to be what I go to for wisdom, for comfort, for direction, to find out what God's will is for my life. Again, I really believe that we are living in the last days. Now, how long is that? I don't know. Paul preached the last days when he was walking upon this earth, preaching the gospel. He preached that they were in the last days, because honestly, you know what? You are in the last days. Whether the rapture happens or not, you and I are going to face Christ. We're going to see our Savior, but we want to be purpose in everything we do every day. Every day, the purpose needs to be Christ edified in my life, God glorified, and me drawn closer to the Lord. Everywhere Paul went, Paul purposed. First, he went into the synagogue, teaching and preaching Christ. Then when the Jews would either receive or reject, then he would go to the Gentiles and he would preach the same message to them, all right? Because that's all Paul had to offer. He had the one thing that he knew could help anybody. Didn't matter what their skin color was, didn't matter what their background was, didn't matter what their occupation was. He had one thing that could help every single person. Because you understand, our opinions may or may not help somebody. I mean, not everything that we have to offer outside of Christ can help every single person. But what we do have in Christ helps every single person. Again, when you think about Peter, Peter had one thing that could help the lame man that was laid at the beautiful gate, the gate called Beautiful, there at the temple every day. The man was asking for money, right? Money can only do so much, right? Money can only do so much. But what Peter had was something that could do far more for the man's life other than just buying some food or buying some clothes or paying for rent. And that's why he would say, silver and gold have I none. Great. The one thing I want, he doesn't have. Because that's the way people treat the word of God. Oh, don't tell me to read my Bible. I've already read it. I've read it before. Right? Give me something else. But it's the one thing that Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. It's the one thing you and I have that we can offer anybody. Doesn't matter, again, what their background is. Doesn't matter their age. It's the one thing that meets the need of every single person. And it truly is the Word of God. And we would need to purpose every day to let it dwell richly in our hearts. Because do you remember? Just think about this before you remember what I'm going to tell you. Life gets busy. Life gets boring. Life becomes sometimes you're in a rut, seemingly spinning your tires going nowhere. Life just happens. Can you remember a time in your life that you were happy? That you were so excited, nothing was going to pop your balloon, nothing was going to take the air out of your tire, whatever you know, saying you want to say. Nothing was going to take the happiness that you had away. Because you were just having, it was just a moment, it was a day, maybe it was a week, maybe it was the whole year, I don't know. But there's been a time in your life and my life where just, I mean, you were just so happy and just nothing could bust your bubble. But then life happened, right? Something happened and you forgot about how happy you were. The day that Peter went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, Peter goes up, normal routine, going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, and somebody else who was there, normal routine, they both meet, and one man's life is changed. Do you remember how the man responded to what Peter had to offer? Though it wasn't what he was asking for at first, but yet when he listened, when he looked on Peter, because Peter had to say, look on us, because obviously the man was kind of ashamed of having to beg for money. But when obviously the man looked at Peter, expecting to receive something, and when he just heard the words that Peter said, then he must have heard about Jesus. Maybe he even tried to get to Jesus, but he didn't have any friends to carry him, like the man that had the palsy that was lowered, you know, down from the rooftop inside the home in front of Jesus. So he must have heard about Jesus. Maybe he even tried to get to Jesus, but he had no friends to help him. But when Peter said, look on us, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk, and the Bible says that Peter extended his right hand as a, you know, as a gesture of here. You know, I'm not just telling you something I don't believe in. Give me your hand and I'll show you. Right? And the man grabbed his hand, and Peter obviously maybe, you know, gave him a little tug to kind of encourage him. You know, do it. Just stand up. Believe on the name of Christ and stand up. And the Bible records the man did. And the people on the inside of the temple, on the inside of the temple, were so astonished that they come running around Peter and John, because the man that they knew was out the outside, not his first time, they knew who he was. The Bible says that he is not just walking, but he's leaping, he's jumping with excitement. You know what? You and I need to purpose every day to have some excitement in our life, but not the excitement that the world has to offer. The excitement that comes from God's word dwelling richly in our heart, because we're reminded of what Christ did for me. I love reading the stories in the Bible about the lives that were changed by the power of Christ, but I like remembering what Jesus did for me. Because you know what? He did change my life. He changed your life as well. There was a day, I mean, at least I hope the day that you accepted Christ as your Savior was a good day for you, and you weren't, you know, walking around with your chin in the oatmeal and your, you know, pouty lip going, can't believe I trusted Christ as my Savior. No, right? Something happened on the inside, and it was like, it really, you feel like a weight being lifted off. Just something spiritual happens. And you and I can continue to have that experience with Christ through his word. Again, we have to purpose to continue letting God's word be the guide unto our life, or the guide in our life. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Right? The Bible continues to remind us that, you know what, God is my shield and I am helped when I put my trust in him. And it's not just a one day, oh yeah, I remember trusting God, you know, 10 years ago. No, it's every day putting our trust in him, putting our trust in the word of God, because God's word's infallible. There's no error. It will never lead you astray. That's why I said earlier that, you know, man's opinion, man's advice can only do so much, and it can't really do much for everybody. But God's word can help every single person. Again, regardless of their background, regardless of their race, you know what? Regardless of the sins they've committed, is there anybody that Jesus cannot help? And the answer is no. There's nobody. There might be somebody in our mind that we think, oh yeah, he's beyond help. Because there are people that we meet that we think they're beyond help, but when we say that, we're thinking they're beyond human help. I've tried helping them, hasn't helped one bit. But nobody is beyond the help of Christ. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. If you and I want to continue to be blessed by the Lord, we have to continue to purpose every day to seek God through his word. Let God's word be the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path, because his word is infallible and it needs to be indwelling all of us. That's why Paul, as he writes to believers at Colossae, says, let the word. We have to choose to let it. It just doesn't happen. We have to let it. We have to actually invite God's word into our life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. All right? Indwelling. It's a constant indwelling. Again, every day reading God's word. And every person's different. Some people can sit down and read 10 chapters at a time and think about everything they're reading, and they understand all 10 chapters they're reading. They've gotten something out of it. Some people, you know what? I do good to read 4 verses and to stop and think about it, right? Because sometimes if you put too much information in, it gets so jumbled up sometimes that you're not even sure what you're thinking about, right? But honestly, if we go to God's word, hungry for God's truth, wanting God to speak to us, wanting God to give us some answer to a problem we have, or we just want God to speak to us and us not just reading the black and white words on page, the black letters on page, but really, God, will you speak to me? There's something different about going to the Bible with an open heart and an open mind and wanting God to speak to you versus, well, I better read my Bible because, you know, someone might ask me, what'd you get out of your Bible? What'd you read today? Well, I read Proverbs 9. You know, they just kind of say something, right? Oh, what'd you read? Well, I don't remember, right? But hungry, wanting God's word, because it does. It impacts us. It changes us. But having that purpose. All right, again, if we don't purpose, then we don't really put a lot of effort into it, right? But having that indwelling word, this is what somebody once said. They said the actual teaching of Christ, whether personally here on earth or by the Spirit, since he has ascended to heaven, is to dwell in full measure in each believer. Full measure in each believer, because God's word is spiritual. God's word changes. It's like a mirror. It's like a bright light. It'll show us things, and then it's going to search us. But it's going to help us to draw closer to the Lord. In Deuteronomy 17, the Bible says this in verse 18, and it shall be when he, speaking of a king, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. Realize the rule for the king? Because, you know, Israel, they wanted a king. They wanted to be like all the other nations. They wanted a king over them instead of continuing to follow God, the glory cloud, right, the Shekinah cloud, instead of following the pillar by day and the fire by night. They said, we want to be like everybody else. Give us a king. Okay, fine. And God says, well, here's what the king is going to do and should do. When there's a king on the throne, he is to copy the word of God. Copy his own. Get an own copy. You realize that from the beginning, God's wanted everybody to have their own copy. Their own copy of God's word. And the king was supposed to write down every word. Get the priests, to bring the scribes, or to bring, you know, the leaflets and stuff, to bring God's word so he can sit there and copy it, so he can have his own copy. How many copies do you have? Everybody's got more than one copy. Whether it's paper form, whether it's digital form, do you know where it's at? When was the last time you read it and got something out of it? Hopefully today. Because listen, as a Christian, you and I cannot survive without God's word. I love hearing preaching. In fact, I was after I got done preparing the message today, I flipped on, I was watching preaching, listening to the preaching, because I want to hear preaching too. But there's just something about reading the Bible. There's something about getting alone with God. We can't expect God's blessing upon our life if we do not read his word and apply it to our life. It has to be a constant indwelling. That's why he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell in you richly. Because it changes us, it comforts us, it guides us, it gives us the wisdom we need. It helps us to see life in the right perspective. And it helps us to see people in the right perspective. Why should I forgive that person that did me wrong? Well, because the Bible reminds us, as Christ has forgiven you, so you need to forgive them. Yeah, but they, right? But they, no. Again, it reminds us, if we've been forgiven, then we have to forgive as well. Again, I want to keep reading this Deuteronomy 17. It says, it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. All the days. Every day, not just when it's convenient, but every day, because we need the word of God every day, just like you and I need food every day and water every day. We can't survive without food and water, and you and I can't survive without the word of God. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now, why would God want the king, number one, to write his own copy of God's word? Well, so he can have his own copy. He doesn't have to go and borrow the copy the priest has, but he has his own copy. Therefore, he can read it every day. Whatever time of day that he wants to read it, he can read it. But then also, so he's not lifted up in pride. It says, so he's not lifted up. God's word helps us to remain humble, because again, it's a mirror to show us, you know what? I'm not better than them. I'm not better than that person. Because sometimes we find ourselves at different times, because where we may be struggling in our spiritual walk with the Lord, and we see someone else that's maybe like, you know, spiritually struggling as well, but it's something you've already overcome. It's easy to be like, okay, well, I'm not as bad because they're struggling with something I've already got the victory over. And that's not what God wants us to do, right? God wants us to let the word of Christ dwell richly in us so that we're more like Christ. It has to be a constant dwelling, and it has to be an abundant dwelling, richly, continually. Let it change you. Let it mold you more to the image of Christ. Let it change your mind, having the mind of Christ, having the compassion of Christ, the love of Christ, even the motivation of Christ for for everything that we do. But also I want you to think about this in verse 17. Right? Purpose to keep God's word as the guide of your life every day, but also we have to purpose to honor the name of Christ. Because we bear a name that has to be honored. Look at verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Some people may be better at it than others. But how often do you think about honoring God in what you're about to say and do? How often does it come to your mind before you speak? Is this going to glorify God or is it not going to glorify God? What you're about to do, is this going to glorify God or is it not going to glorify God? And we got to be careful because sometimes we would put our life in two different categories. Church, my daily life. And if it's not a church thing, then we think, okay, church thing, yeah, I need to glorify God in that. But my everyday life, we tend not to think about how is this going to glorify God. Is God going to be glorified with the word that's about to come out of my mouth? Is it going to be glorified with the action I'm about to do? Again, if the word of God is dwelling richly in our heart, then that is going to be on our mind. Glorifying God every day of our life with everything we say and everything we do, because we bear the name of Christ. Whatsoever ye do, we have to purpose to honor Christ with our life every day. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, just the simple things, the normal things, the routine that you do every day. All right, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. You realize, I mean, we don't think about glorifying God with what we eat and how we eat. I mean, we say our prayers, right? We pray over the food, right? But that's about it, because we know that we're supposed to thank God for the food. But it goes deeper than that. Honoring God with what you eat, how you eat, what you drink, how you drink, and whatsoever you do, everything. So the simple routine things, but then everything in your life, there has to be a purpose. I want to honor Christ in this. Do you think it's honoring to God for a Christian to be watching rated R movies? No. Because let's be honest, if Jesus was physically sitting next to us on the couch, or next to us, you know, in his lazy boy chair, whatever, what would we put on the TV? But he already knows. It's not like we can fool him. So whatever we do behind closed doors, he sees it. But the mind tells us nobody sees because nobody's around. But he does. Whatsoever ye do, do heartily as unto the Lord. Whatever. Not just TV, but anything. If Jesus was physically, and we do, as a child of God, you and I really have to think about this. Because look, when I was a kid and my dad wasn't around, I did whatever I wanted. And then when he was around, I was good. Until one day I was stupid. He doesn't get home till 5:30. And the rule was you're not supposed to be outside playing until mom and dad gets home. When my friend came over, summertime, we'll play in the backyard, no big deal. Well, the backyard ended up us jumping over the fence and playing in the ditch behind the house and in the woods. And my sister come to the back door, and she's like waving, trying to get my attention. And I'm like, she's like, that means dad's home.
And as soon as I jumped over the fence, she's doing this, and she didn't realize it. My dad stepped right behind her, looking right at me. Oh, if looks could kill, I would not be married with 10 children and 2 grandchildren right now. My heart sank. Why did I do what I knew I wasn't supposed to do? Because the authority wasn't around. And I thought I knew when he would come home, but he came home early because he had to do something. I mean, that's just human tendency. The Christian tendency is nobody sees, nobody knows. We forget. We forget about the all-seeing God. We forget about our Savior who sees us, knows us. And he's just not, you know, somewhere watching us on a security camera. He's inside of us, right? He's there with us. And that's why the Bible says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, we need to think about purposing to honor Christ. Like, I want Christ to be honored with the life that he redeemed, with the life that he shed his blood for, with the life that he has given me the ability to not only walk with him, not only be in his family, but to be blessed by him. So whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God in everything, right? Honor Christ because he deserves to be honored because we've been redeemed by his blood, but also honoring Christ in everything because he says in word or deed. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, O generation of vipers, this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You ever said something and you're like, ooh, where'd that come from? I've heard people do that. Say something, say a cuss word, a Christian. They go, ooh, where'd that come from? Well, it came from your heart. Right? Maybe not even cussing. Maybe just talking bad about somebody, condemning somebody, judging somebody because you don't like something. Not that they did anything wrong to you. You just don't like them. You don't like what they said to somebody else. You don't like what they did. Again, honoring Christ in everything, being conscious of the words because you can't take the words back. You know that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones? Now I forgot how it goes. Say it again, but words will never hurt me. Sticks and bones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Words hurt, don't they? Now I know the meaning behind that saying is to, you know, don't let words hurt you. But they do. They do hurt when somebody says something negative to you or about you. They do hurt. And you know what? Even though that person may ask for forgiveness and you forgive them because you know it's the right thing to do, you still remember what they said. It's still there. It's still out there. I mean, you try to forget it, right? But the devil uses it. He wants you to feel bad about what someone said about you or to you. But think about the reverse of that. What we say, what we do, right? We got to be careful because, again, what we say we can never take back. Can never take back. I just remember being a kid and getting mad at a friend and saying, I wish you would go to, and you fill in the blank, adults. I think you probably know what the word is. Because you're so mad. Not that I meant it, but you know what? I said it, and it hurt that person. It hurt my friend. So do people make you mad at different times? Yeah. Even relatives, even loved ones can make you mad at times, but is it worth saying something you can never take back? The answer is no. Jesus being our example, did he ever say anything to those who were condemning him, to those who were nailing him on the cross? Did he ever say a curse word? Did he ever curse them? Did he ever condemn them? No, because remember, he even said, there's one that'll judge you, and it's the Word. But what did he do when he's hanging on the cross? I mean, he's beaten. He is beaten beyond recognition. The Bible says you couldn't even tell if it was a man hanging there. So, you know, these paintings that you see of Jesus hanging on the cross, you know, with one drop of blood. No. The Bible says he was scourged, beard ripped out, beaten beyond recognition. And the Bible records that he's on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So honestly, I don't have an excuse to not be able to forgive somebody and to hold my tongue. Sure, we all like to give somebody a piece of our mind because, you know, they deserve it. But again, who are we honoring when we act in the flesh? When we respond in the flesh, we're honoring the devil. We're honoring the flesh and not Christ. Again, when you think about this, I mean, it is. It's something that we have to purpose, and I'm including myself. We have to purpose to truly honor Christ every day. Have that, Lord, I want to honor Christ. I'm prone not to even think about honoring Christ in certain things. So, Lord, would you press it upon my heart? Help me to be pressed in such a way that, you know what? I'm always conscious about honoring my Savior with what I say and what I do. The Bible says in Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Right? That you may know how you ought to answer every man. Because again, God's the great avenger, right? Someone's doing you wrong. What does Jesus say? It's hard to do without Christ, but Jesus does say that, you know what? If we give our enemy food and water, I mean, we do good, it heaps coals of fire upon their head. It brings them under conviction. It makes them feel guilty. You and I may not see them feeling guilty, but God, he's the revenger. God will take care of you and me. If you're being mistreated in any way, your God will take care of you. But he wants us to honor him in our words and in the things we do. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be doers of the word. I hear what you're saying, but I just can't do that. Yes, you can. Usually when someone says, I hear what you're saying, I just can't do that, they're really saying, I don't want to do that. But God wants us to. Because again, our life is to glorify him. And God will bless you and me for doing the right thing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's easy to say it. We need to do it, right? It's easy to say it because there are people that love you. There are people that say they love you, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a child, whether it's a grandchild, right? I love getting hugs from my children. I love getting hugs from my grandson. And I'm looking forward to getting hugs from my granddaughter. I mean, even today he came and he gave Nana a hug and a kiss, and he came and gave Papa a hug and a kiss. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just a blessing to be a grandparent. You know how it feels when you're loved, when somebody loves you, and you know that. But what if that's all they ever said was, I love you, but all they ever did was things that didn't show you they loved you, right? That's why it says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth, right? Actually showing that we do love, showing that we do believe, and doing things that will bring honor to Christ. Doing things that will bring honor to Christ.
Last thing I want you to think about, the second part of verse 17. All right? Purposing to give thanks to God. He says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So purposing every day to give thanks to God for the day, for whatever's going on in your day. And really, you and I can't give thanks without His Word dwelling richly in us. We can't give thanks without His Word dwelling richly in us, because His Word reminds us how good we have it. Reminds us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, He rose victorious over the grave so you and I could have life abundantly. But purposing to give thanks every day, purposing, you know what? I'm going to find something to give thanks to God about. Again, just like you and I love it when somebody doesn't just tell us they love us, but when they show us they love us, we like it too when someone says thank you for things that you've done for them, right? I mean, there's not one of us in here who doesn't want to be told thank you. Now, how often are you not told thank you when there really should be a thank you? And how does that make you feel? Think about our Lord and Savior. Sealed, I mean, He's given us the gift of salvation, never to be taken away. And you probably, and I've probably told Him thank you a million times. Thank you, Lord, I'm on my way to heaven. But what about everything else He does? What about all the little things He does? And you probably do tell Him that, but we have to purpose to keep telling Him thank you. Thank you that you didn't answer that prayer request, because it obviously was not a prayer request that you were going to answer. You ever had a prayer request God didn't answer? Did you thank Him for not answering it? That's kind of hard. You're like, wait, I'm supposed to thank Him for not doing what I asked? Yeah. Because He knows what's best, right? He knows, obviously, whatever it was you were praying for, no. Because He knows what's going to happen after the answer comes. Paul being a great example, he thanked God. He thanked Jesus for not answering his prayer request by taking the thorn out of his life, by saying, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon my life. That's how he said thank you. Okay, Jesus said, no, I'm not taking the thorn out of your flesh, but I'll give you my strength in place of your weakness. So Paul said thank you by saying, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon my life. Whatever it is, we have to purpose to thank the Lord every day. It is a response of gratitude. Colossians 1 and verse 12 says this, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's made us able, meet. He's made us able. He's given us the power to become the sons of God, to be a part of the royal family, to be a part of God's family, to be able to go to heaven, to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, giving thanks to God, purposing to give thanks to God in everything. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it reminds us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? And I believed on His Son, and His Son gave me everlasting life, right? Never forgetting what God has done for us, what Jesus has done, and what the Holy Spirit is doing. Because the Holy Spirit's been given to us not just to be the guide unto death, but to cultivate His fruit to help us
to love people we normally wouldn't love, to forgive people we don't want to forgive, to be patient with people that sometimes we're impatient with, and all the fruit, right? The love, the joy, the peace, long-suffering, the meekness, the temperance, right? The Holy Spirit working in us, helping us to be more like Christ. Last place, go to Hebrews chapter 10. Take your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 10. But purposing to give God thanks for the access you and I have into His presence because of mercy. Right? An access of mercy. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Just think about the cleansing that Christ has done in your life. Again, so that you and I can boldly come before God, right? The veil in the temple, yes, being rent from top to bottom when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," but Jesus' body being broken for us. Him, His blood being shed so that you and I could go straight to God. Yeah, having our sins washed, right, paid for, but giving us the access to go before God. You read in the Old Testament, anybody that came into the tabernacle, anyone that tried to even offer the incense of fire that it was not their duty to do it, God killed. No one could go into the Holy of Holies except for the high priest, and that was only once a year. Anyone that tried to do it, they were killed. Aren't you glad you don't have to fear about being killed when you go to God? Because He's given you that way. He's given you that access. So being thankful for the relationship that you and I have with the Lord. But these three things we have to purpose every day. Purpose to continue to let God's word dwell richly in our hearts so that we're guided by His truth. So we have wisdom and discernment and we're not led astray spiritually. Right? We're not deceived spiritually because God will guide us. But then also, you know, just remembering that you do have a name that you bear. You have the name of Christ that deserves to be honored. Because a lot of people give honor to a family name. I mean, just George Mueller. I mean, his father whipped him at the age of 21. From the jailhouse all the way home, whipped him with his cane. And told him, "You are ruining the name Mueller." Because there was a day and age where a name meant something. Even a child is known by his name, right? I mean, there again, when we were trying to figure out names for our kids, when each one was going to be born, you know, well, you know, how about Keith? No, I remember this guy in high school. Okay, what about, different names? And either I had a bad experience with somebody with that name, or my wife had right? Names stick with you. So you think about, we bear the name of Christ. So we really should purpose to live our life to where it glorifies Him. By exalting His word in our life so that we're helped and other people see Christ in us, honoring His name again by, you know what, I'm going to be careful what I say, how I say it, and to who I say it, and what I do. What I do, because again, people that know that you are a Christian, they know what you are not supposed to be doing. In the Old Testament, when David, I got 5 minutes. When David fled from Saul and went over to the Philistines, and specifically he yoked up with Achish, one of the Philistine kings, and Achish gave him the city Ziklag. There came a day when the Philistines put the battle in array and they were going to fight against the Israelites. And David and his men came to the battle on the Philistine side. And the other lords of the Philistines, there were some other kings there as well from different cities. They said, "What do these Hebrews here? They're not going to battle with us." Because they said, you know, in the heat of the battle, their hearts are going to turn for their people. And they're going to be behind us. And, you know, they're going to slaughter us because we'll be trapped between, you know, the army of Israel and David and his men. But the fact is that they weren't supposed to be there. And these Philistines knew that. He said, "What are these guys doing here? Send them away." Because David was on the wrong side of the line. Now, he ran for his life. He was running from Saul. But again, that's a different message for a different time. He shouldn't have been there. But the fact is, people that are not Christian know that a Christian shouldn't be hanging out in a bar, shouldn't be at a rated R movie, shouldn't be picking up pornography, magazines at the store, different things like that. They know that, right? And I'm just using those examples. I mean, those are pretty serious examples to use. But just think about it. As a Christian, the mindset that we have to have is, I want to glorify Christ with the life he's given me. Whether my life has been bad or not. Everyone's had a bad past in some capacity. But who restores and renews our life? It's Christ, right? He's the one that established our way. He brought us up, lifted us up out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, established our going. So every day is a new day to glorify him. The question is, will we purpose to seek him daily? Will we purpose to lift him up in our life? Will we purpose to speak so it brings edification to somebody else? Will we purpose to let Christ dwell in us richly by his word? That's the question.